So we're talking about defining now, definition of. So the Lord is hunting, he's seeking for some things. How many knows that? A true Christian has turned from sin to godly walk. That's defined, isn't it? They are a new creature, and now they're godly. They are set apart for God. We're going to get some scriptures here in a minute. God answers their prayer and call. Their life is for God, and that means they're godly. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. We're known by our voice. They are chosen and set apart. Godly people. I mean, those are, they're chosen and set apart. They are partakers of divine nature. Their desire is to be like God. Huh? Their desire shouldn't be to be like the world. They should be want to be like God. They love God and keep his commandments. That's godly people. The Lord is looking for a godly nation. We used to have one. He'd like to see it again. He's looking for a godly nation. He's looking for godly leaders. He's looking for godly homes. He's looking for godly families. And all going in godly ways. Now, we've defined a whole lot of what godly is. What is godly? It's being like God. Huh? So we measure ourselves by that. Does God hear the ungodly? We're going to get in that. Does God bless the ungodly? No. Somebody said, I know some ungodly people that's got money. That's not God's blessing. I'll tell you one thing. Jacob had everybody's blessing but God. When he left home, he had hoodooed his brother out of his birthright and his blessing. So he, by the help of his mother, they deceived Isaac. And so Jacob had Esau's birthright. He had his blessing. He went on down to get a wife, and then he got the same thing that he done. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. That which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he worked 7 years for Rachel, and the father deceived him, and he gave him Leah. Well, now he's got Leah. That wasn't what he wanted, so he had to work 7 more years for Rachel. And on the way back out, he had worked out a way with the father of Rachel, his pay. And his pay would be all the cattle that were had ring straight on their neck. And so he fixed up a place with burnt sticks, you know, where they went to drink, and all the cattle turned out to be ring straight. Boy, he was the dude, wasn't he? But how many believes that was God doing all that? But he had cattle. He had everything. He had the blessing of his brother Esau and all that, but that wasn't godly. That wasn't godly. So he had to wrestle all night, and he said, I will not be denied. And that next morning, he got a name change, and then he began to get God's blessing. Now, you see, a lot of folks got all kinds of blessings. I'm hunting God's blessing. You know, a lot of folks are trying to get somebody else's blessing. A lot of folks are trying to get somebody else's money. A lot of folks are trying to get somebody else's whatever that they want, but that's not what it is. The whole key to it is we must seek God for his blessing, and the only way we can get it is we must become godly ourselves. Godly or ungodly. There's two things. They're either godly or ungodly. I brought that out the other night. You know, people said, but he's a fine fella. Does he have to be, and he's a good fella. He don't do any wrong. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything wrong. He doesn't curse. He's a fine fella. But he's not godly till he's born again. He's not godly till he's born again. I don't care how good a man he is or how good a woman she is. They're not godly till they're born again. How many knows that Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Now, everything has to turn to God. And when they turn to God, God begins to really do something for them. So I question whether people are godly or not, or whether even a Christian or not, when they lay out a church and don't support the church and all those kind of things. I wonder about that. I'm not the one to pronounce the conviction upon them, but God does. So in Psalms, let's turn to Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. The ungodly, or the godly, is what we're defining. Hear me when I call, O God, the psalmist says. of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now, that's a powerful part right there. Know ye that the Lord has set apart that which is what? Godly. What for? For himself. So God sets apart the people that become godly. They're for himself. They're his. And how many knows the Lord hears them that's his? But know ye that the Lord has set apart him that is godly. I'm saying it again. For himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He's saying here, I was set apart and I became godly. And when I call, God hears me. Jeremiah 33:3 said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Then he said in verse 4, stand in awe, sin not. Now he gives us a job. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. In other words, he's saying meditate upon your bed. Meditate upon the Lord. Verse 5 said, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it is, said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't lean to our understanding. Our trust is in God. Our trust is not in people. Our trust is not in things. Our trust is not in money. Our trust is not in the economy. We trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding. Our own understanding can get us in trouble. He said, offer sacrifices. Now let's go back to one that we worked on the other night here, Psalms 1. And it has a whole lot to say about godly and ungodly. Let's go through that. Psalms 1. Listen to what it says here. I know a lot of folks that go to church as ungodly as they can be. They're not even started to be like God. They go to church. What does it say here? Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there's a big one right there. Verse 2. But his delight is what? In the law, in the Bible, in other words, in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord doth he meditate what? On his bed. That's what the fourth chapter says here. On his bed, meditate of him on the bed. Think about him on the bed. Think about him all day long. Here's he says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. I wonder what some of these people are meditating on at doing all these ungodly things. Huh? They meet you on the street corner, they can't say anything godly. It's always something ungodly. But that man can't be blessed, and we're going to prove it right here. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree, this man that his delights in the law of the Lord, and the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. And he said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, who is that? This man here that meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. This man that's godly, a godly person. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, he lays it on the ungodly here. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly is not so, they're not blessed. God doesn't hear their prayer. God doesn't hear their cry. God doesn't hear them, but we go to church, but we claim to be Christians. We're this and that. No, that's not the answer. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff of which the wind driveth away. In other words, they're not stable in anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Never let, you know, a double-minded man. You know, people sit and they make all these kinds of decisions, whether I'm going to church, whether I'm going to pray, whether I'm going to get in or whether I'm going to get out. What am I going to do? Make all these kind of decisions. And the only decision that we could really make that will bless us and bless God Himself is that we make a godly decision, and the only way we can do that is for us to be godly ourselves. That's bad, isn't it? Well, that's good. Verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So he cuts the ungodly man out right there. The ungodly. Now, there's the ungodly and there's sinners. Now, ungodly people, in some scriptures, it'll describe them as people that once were godly and got away, now they're ungodly. But a sinner is just a plain old sinner. He's a sinner. He's ungodly. He's in that category too, but he's a sinner. Man, I'd rather see somebody say, well, I'm just an old sinner, than somebody say that promotes himself as godly and they're ungodly. And you know they're ungodly. You know what they got. You know what they got in their heart. It's not right. It's the wrong thing. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgments, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Here's the last one, and it hits it too. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall, what? Perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, the way of the righteous is Jesus Christ. He said, John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So the godly are set apart. They're unlike the world, but they're in the likeness of God. How many knows that Jesus was made in the likeness of his Father? How many knows we're supposed to be made in the likeness of our Father? That's, he's our Heavenly Father. So, we must be having a form or being in the likeness of God. Now, there's one said having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How many knows that a lot of churches, they've got a form of godliness. It looks godly. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In that particular scripture, he said, from such what? Turn away. Have nothing to do with it. From such, turn away. Now, godliness means having a form or being in the likeness of God. We're defining this now. Second thing I want to bring in is deeply concerned with God and beliefs and practices in the religious realm of salvation. The next thing it means is divine. When you see the divine, it's in there. The next thing it means is holy. We've covered these others, the sacrifices of the righteous and the trust in the Lord. So, the whole chapter of Psalm 1 deals with that and cuts it out very clear. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's get the first verse. Peter defines some things here. Now, who is this message to? Peter's writing this message. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it's to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through what? The righteousness of God. And in other words, godliness, through the righteousness of God in the Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he said, this is what this book is to. And he addresses verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now he comes in. According as his divine power hath given unto us. Now, God gives it to us when we're right. According as his divine power, he hath given to us all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness. So if it's something that's ungodly, he didn't give it to you. Somebody said, God give me this, God give me that. No, he didn't give it to you unless it pertained in the life through godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, according to his divine power, he's given unto us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Now, look at this. We're going to see the word divine in here. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Well, now, that really gets something. How many believes that godliness is divine nature? Well, sure it is, because God is divine. Now, he said here that we should be partakers of his divine nature. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Because we escaped something. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped all that. Or we're supposed to. Are we still tangled up in it? Are we still wrapped up in it? Are we still messed up in it? No, we've got to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience what? Godliness. If you don't have these things is what makes Christians godly. You add to your faith. People get faith when they get born again. So they add to that faith virtue, that's purity, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. So these all identify as God. How many believes God is divine? He has a divine nature because he's God. And how many believes he gives all diligence and we add to our faith virtue? This brings us into a godly state. And God will not hear the voice of the ungodly. That's in First Psalms, and it's in the fourth chapter of Psalms and many, many other places in the Bible that God will not hear that. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, verse 7, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But look at this, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afore off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. You see, we've got to be purged from that sin to get godly. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Then he gives a promise here in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12 gives us another thing here. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you knew them, and be established in the present truth. What is the present truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. So he is the way, he is the truth. Guess what? He is like the Father, and we're supposed to be like him. Puts us in the image, and we're to change into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let's just go just a little bit further. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's turn over here to chapter 2. Here, let's just read verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. See, when you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, just remember this. That is an example so we may know what's going to happen to them that lives ungodly. They're going to be destroyed. Who's going to destroy it? John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So who's the destroyer? The thief. Who's the thief? Satan himself. And then here it says that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed as an example unto those after whom live ungodly. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vex his righteous soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds. Verse 9, here's where I want to get. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. How many knows he don't to deliver the ungodly? The ungodly has to get some knowledge of God and come to him. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How many here has ever had temptation? Let's all raise your hand. I know you have. You've been tempted. You've been tempted. You've been tried. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Huh? Who's he going to deliver? The godly out of what? Their temptation. So if a person's tempted, tried, down the dumps, all those kind of things, God knows how to get you out of that. So you have to turn to him. Godly. Peter said in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. He'll send him to you in a time of temptation. To you in time of temptation. He'll send him to every one of us in time of temptation. He'll send Jesus. But what? Repent ye therefore and be converted? How did Peter learn so about being converted? Jesus told Peter one time, he said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know, Peter was kind of a hard one to deal with. One day he might be shouting the victory and praising the Lord, and the next day he might be cursing and backed up again the fire. You know, he was kind of ungodly, wasn't he? But listen to what he's saying. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be... He went on in that scripture and said, I've prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I'm going to ask you a great big question here tonight. How many folks in the church are strengthening to us? And how are we strengthening people? Huh? That tells the story right there. You got people sitting in churches today, they're pulling down on the Spirit all they can. They're sitting there like this. Oh, how long is this sermon going on? I'm going to miss my program. That's real strengthening, isn't it? It's real strengthening to a preacher that's standing behind the pulpit and looking at them back there, and they look so sour. Huh? When you're converted, what's going to happen? You're going to strengthen your brethren. When somebody strengthens you, you know that everything you see they do is strengthening. It's something, try to build something, strengthen it, get it stronger, get it better. That person definitely is converted. That person is converted into godliness. He is a godly person or she is a godly person, and they need to be strengthening. That's why churches are falling away. The strength is going out of them because of ungodliness coming in them, the ungodly. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to do these things. So these things that we're talking about is Acts of the Apostles. Did you know Acts of the Apostles is a book that just telling how apostles and ministers in that day, how they acted like God would act. Peter was the evangelistic apostle. Somebody said, well, when he got converted, see, it wasn't but a few days after he cursed up the fire, but he had an opportunity to preach on the day of Pentecost. But he had it all fixed. He got converted. He brought strength in the crowd. He wasn't one that was pulled back. Don't you know that some of those guys, that other 11 was there that day, they probably said, well, he's the one that was cursing up there beginning the fire. We's all being good boys. And now he gets to preach the big message on the day of Pentecost. But he had it all fixed. And God had a spirit, the spirit go inside of him, and God had called him, God had ordained him, and God had fixed it so that he was godly. And so he climbs up and said, these are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And 3,000 people got saved, and the biggest part of them were Jews. Some of them, even priests, got down and got saved. Next chapter, him and John was going by the gate called Beautiful. Crippled man been there. Jesus had probably passed by him, and all everybody else had passed by him. But I imagine when Jesus passed by him, he said, I'm reserving him for Peter. Because he knows Peter's going to come by one day. Jesus knows everything. You know. So here comes Peter and John. Peter reaches out and grabs this man by the hand. And he said, look on us. He didn't include, you know, him and John, he didn't like John too good over in the last chapter of the book of St. John. He said, what's this man going to do? Jesus said, you just worry about what you're going to do. I'll take care of him, in other words. But he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And this man got up and began to leap and praise God, you know, and went into church with him. 5,000 people got saved. You think that wasn't an evangelistic revival? Huh? You think that was an evangelistic miracle? See, we need some evangelists. The churches are dying for lack of evangelism anymore. So here we go. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, we add these things all up, and it says that we might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. We have to escape that before we can be protected of divine nature. We can't be corrupt and divine at the same time. Can we? Can't be corrupt and divine at the same time. You got to give it all up and turn it over to divine nature. Before you got saved, how many of you had a divine nature? I could just see some of you grinning and looking there right now. It was a bad nature. But through the works of God and the meditation of God, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, praying and pray, God has moved you in one right after another to where you are a godly person. And if he hasn't quite got you there, hang on and let him pull you on through the knothole, and you'll finally make it to be a godly person. In the Acts of the Apostles, they were acting godly, or as God would act. In other words, if Jesus would have went by this man that there, and he wanted to, he'd have lifted him up, but he left him there for some reason. But would Jesus do that? It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing what? All that were oppressed of the devil. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. But why? Because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. The godly acts of God and the acts that we can do, that godly acts, has to come because we have to get this godliness in us. Colossians 1:27 says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here's what we have to do. We have to walk a godly walk, talk a godly talk, act in God's stead, be partakers of divine nature. We have to add to our faith this formula. God has given us these things to pertain. The whole chapter of this chapter 1 of Psalms deals with this here that we're talking about. To commune with him is a must. How many knows commune? Talk to him. Somebody said, well, I wish God would answer my prayer. Well, have you said anything yet? Huh? He's looking for us to say something. What he wants to say? He wants to say something godly. You're talking to God. You're not talking to a bum. He wants us to say something godly. Heavenly Father, recognize you. We appreciate you. We love you. We have a need. Right away, he begins to listen. He hears what? He hears them. Huh? Them that is godly. I want to read this again in the 4th chapter of Psalms. I want to read about 3 or 4 verses here. Verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. I want us to get this put down. Ministers here, especially the ministers. Know ye not that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for the Lord's work? The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He has set apart him that is godly for himself. In other words, we're godly chosen, God has set us apart for himself. Now, what does that mean? That means he wants to use us continuously as we walk this godly walk, as we act in God's stead, as we be partakers of divine nature. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He said, God will hear me when I call unto him because he set me apart, is what this psalmist was saying, for himself. Then he said, stand in awe. I mean, no, awe. I hear the word from the charismatic realm, awesome. Awesome. I hear that all the time. I haven't seen nothing awesome about many of them, but I hear that word awesome all the time. Boy, that's awesome, awesome. It is. It's awesome, all right. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thine countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. There's many prayers today that's not being heard, all because the person that's praying the prayer is not qualified to ask. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find. Now that doesn't mean that you can't ask in whatever condition you're in, but we have to remember what condition I'm in order for us to ask. In other words, if a person's been caught up in sin, they've got to ask you to be forgiven, number one. And God forgives. And I brought in something the other day, and people's got the idea when God forgives us that he trusts us. Huh? But he looks for fruit. And the trust comes later. I've often used that term when my son was growing up, you know, and he got 16 or 17, I gave him the key to the car. And he said, I'll take care of it. Well, he did. He took it out on a rough road, drug the muffler off, and took his girlfriend down the highway doing 80 miles an hour with the muffler off. Guess what he got? He got an $80 ticket. Come dragging it in. He said, you'll have to pay that. He wrote a letter to the patrolman and thanked him for giving him the ticket. That's true. And that we earned the respect of that trooper more than any other law enforcement that I ever known, just by that letter that wrote and says, thank you for giving him the ticket. You might have saved his life. Well, look, I forgive him, but how long do you think it took me to trust him? Did I love him? See, God has forgiven us, and he loves us. But he has to have, God is needing some people that he can look to trust. Huh? Is your billfold open where God says, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you? You know, a lot of folks can't trust God with that. If God tells us to give $100, I'll give it. You know, God is a miracle-working God. And God does miracle-working things, and he'll do things for us if we just obey. And if we've made a mistake, God will help us that mistake. I was telling them here the other night, I believe it was Sunday night, I said, you know, one time, about the time me and Sister Buckner got married, right after we got married, preaching at a church, and I had made a mistake and had $1,000 mistake, and I done it innocently, but I thought, oh, Lord, what in the world am I going to do with that $1,000? She knew about it. We went to this church to preach, and here come a fellow before we got out of the car and handed me a check. He said, Lord told me to give you that. I think this is for somebody. And I don't usually tell things like that twice, but I told her Sunday night. And she said, how much is it? I said, $500. I said, that's only half what we need. You know, same man went in, we had church, we had a good time in the Lord. Come back out, we was getting in the car, getting ready to leave. Same man come back out, and he said, the Lord told me I didn't give you near enough. Here's another check. We needed $1,000. And give me that check, and I looked at it. She said, how much is it? I said, $500. That pumped her faith clear sky. She had never seen nothing like that before.